Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
The Burt Show.
We decided, because at Halloween, we would have the folks from Atlanta Ghost Hunters, and welcome back to the studio, Andy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
What's up?
We would have them back and join us every day in the week leading up to Halloween, and it's always so well-received that we decided that once a month, on the last Friday of every month, we'd have Atlanta Ghost Hunters back in studio. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's a busy time of year, so we appreciate you.
You know, nothing says Christmas like a ghost.
I know. Right. Well, spirits are around all year long.
Absolutely.
So. Right.
Day and night.
Have you ever had a ghost wish you like a happy holidays? Like, are they aware of time? Like, are they aware that it's Christmas time, I wonder?
I have never been greeted with a holiday cheer. No, I haven't. I've been greeted with four-letter words, but never with holiday cheer.
Is it Brea?
Brea, yes.
Okay. Hi, Brea. Welcome to the Burt Show.
Good morning.
And it was your house. You invited them in.
Actually, not a house.
Not a house.
Not a house. I'll just set it up real quick. This is a place where crashed airplanes are stored.
That's right.
Okay.
You told us about this. Yeah,
yes.
It's somewhere in the southeast. We want to keep it real quiet. There's some... They just want to keep it quiet at the location.
Sure, makes sense.
Exactly. They don't want people coming out and wandering around, things along those lines.
So this is
where crashed airplanes are housed.
Is this like when you see that news coverage where they're kind of putting them back together to find out how it happened, and then there's just like big rooms full of parts and planes and...
That does go on,
fuselages,
yes.
And all that stuff is here?
Pretty much the part that we had access to was... the outdoor portion,
where
they were being stored prior to, I guess, being put back together and figuring out what happened.
Okay.
So.
And Brea was assisting you on this, or does she work with that organization?
She works with that organization.
All right.
Hey, Brea.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So Brea's there every day, her and the ghosts.
I know. I'm glad I'm not the one having to turn on the lights this morning.
And the way this works is the Atlanta Ghost Hunters don't get paid for the... services they do. Like, they go out there because they have a love of this and they like the chase and everything. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they find stuff, sometimes they don't. Like, obviously, if they were getting paid, you would be like, oh, they're making stuff up in order to, you know, to earn their money. But they don't get paid for this, so they just go out there and they collect this audio. And if you are on the radio with us, they don't share that audio with you until you hear it for the first time live on our show.
Right.
So, Brian,
this is the reveal.
You obviously have assumed by now that we have found something, or else we wouldn't be wasting time with you on the radio. I would advise you to take a seat and get ready for a long day at work today.
Awesome.
And get out of there before it gets dark.
Right.
And we don't know either here in the studio what he found either, so.
But we certainly did find something.
It's all yours, Andy. Tell us the story.
Okay. Outdoor investigations are real tough. You've got the wind aspect. This was right next to an airport where there's a lot of noise of the planes taking off and landing, and there's just a lot going on. So outdoor investigations are real tough. But there was crash vehicles all over the place, and one of them that we definitely wanted to spend some time with was a helicopter crash. Looked like it was a pretty messed up crash. There was a gentleman there that actually kind of told us the stories of what happened with this crash and how many victims were inside. And this particular helicopter, just for whatever reason, just drew my attention. We need to put a recorder in this helicopter and just leave it and walk off. So that's what we did. The first couple of them that we caught were actually in this helicopter. Everything is just dead silence inside this helicopter, and this is the very first thing that we caught, which I don't know what it is, but it sounds like somebody with a very heavy sigh.
Definitely hear the second thing. I couldn't hear the sigh.
Yeah.
Now, the second part of that, was there anyone close enough to the helicopter that could have been somebody's voice in the background?
It's very difficult to tell. because I didn't have a video camera on that particular helicopter at the time. I mean, this place was gigantic. It was very, very difficult to get the entire place covered. So I don't know if there was somebody relatively close. That's why I didn't even put the meow thing in there, is because it very well could have been. I don't know. So the next one was also in the air, in the helicopter. And the first thing that came to my mind, it sounds like Tony.
Okay.
But it's a two-syllable word. Whatever this is, there's two syllables. It may say help me. I don't know. But the first thing that I think it says is Tony.
That's interesting. It sounds like Tony.
Tony?
It sounds like Tony. And there was no Tonys with us that day. But that one, again, in a helicopter, gate closed. There's no one in this thing. And that certainly wasn't a cat. But it definitely sounds like Tony or help me, something that's two syllables.
The thing that's so freaky about this is that you have to remember these recorders are set up in completely empty spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, you know, you can't dismiss it for, like, a voice in the background or a voice in the next room, because I'm imagining that you set this up and then you walk
away,
a quarter mile away, and you're looking at a, you know, some other plane or
absolutely
something else.
And we just left it and walked away. And you know, sometimes you can do that and you can get a whole bunch of stuff. Sometimes you can leave it and just listen to dead air for 2 or 3 hours.
Hey, Wendy.
Yes.
What did you think the meow on the first one said?
Get out.
Okay.
Right, let's listen to that one again, Sean. I can hear me out at the end. You know what? Hey, Lindell, if you're listening, clip that just so it's the meow, and we'll play it one more time before we get out of here. I don't know why I'm calling it the meow.
But it's funny how the meow. Well, I mean, if you take the T out of, I mean, that meow.
Yeah.
And then we just have to figure out what the first word is in that.
And whatever the Tony or help me is also, you know, sounds like a female voice as well. So
right.
It could be the same person. Who knows? Let me out, help me. Could be, you know, kind of what they're saying there.
I don't think anybody should do any haunting around Christmas. I don't think it's right.
Well, you know, the fun part about this was done during the daytime. It was a pretty dangerous investigation. There was lots of shards of metal and
parts
everywhere. And we couldn't do it at nighttime. It just would have been very, very dangerous. And, you know, we're all volunteers. We're not going to go out there and you know, get a cut in our foot and have to get a tetanus shot.
Right.
Now, you mentioned about daytime and nighttime. Do you find that you capture more at nighttime than daytime?
I don't think it matters. The only reason I think nighttime is a little bit better is traffic. You know, the outside noise tends to die down after people get home from work and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, all right, the next one that we've got was actually inside the office space. This kind of happened early on in the investigation.
Is this where Brea works?
Yes, it sure is.
Cool.
So this is right there in the office area, and we were just talking about kind of who owns the planes, what happens with them, and we'll just set it up. But she basically says they pay to keep them here. And you'll hear a little girl's voice say, "Hey."
Yeah. And they pay, yeah. Yeah. Long storage on them. And
you could hear it, the whistle.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear it. Play it again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they pay, yeah.
Yeah.
Long storage on them. And
just real light. Hey. Just real light. So it sounds like a little girl to me. So hey, you had this next one is the one that got me. I was like,
okay.
All right.
No.
So this one,
I want to hear that "hey" one more time, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they pay,
Long storage on them. And it's right up against the microphone.
I hate the whispery ones.
The child's like, voice is scary.
I'm here.
Yes.
So this next one's real cool, though. This is, you'll hear a gentleman talking in the background, and he's explaining to us what happened at this particular accident. Okay. And he was explaining that basically the guy should have made it back. He couldn't read. He couldn't fly on instruments. I heard Jeff talking earlier about the flight
the
that had to go back because he couldn't read the instruments. And that's kind of a key thing. You need to know how to land your plane with the instruments. And that's what happened on this particular one. So go ahead and play it. And at the very end, you'll hear a voice that just basically says he panicked.
But he quit flying the airplane. The engine wasn't locked up at the impact site. So if the engine's not locked up, it means the engine was still running. He was within a mile of the airport. He probably should have made the runway.
Wow.
But
he panicked.
Even if he got
oil. Oh, my God.
Tell me that ain't jacked up.
Oh, my God.
that one, like, oh, that's
there's
cool.
nobody in there?
Nobody, nobody around us at that point. I mean, you hear him talking, and you at the end, it almost talks on top of him.
Holy crap!
It talks on top of him. And this is one of the cool ones, because it actually, you know, the
that
hey,
was loud.
The hell name,
yes.
it was. None of those. I love it when they respond to what you're talking about. Uh-huh. You're not asking him a question.
Right.
He wasn't asking this. This was just in the middle of an explanation.
She's trying to make sure that y'all knew what happened.
He panicked. So this play, one is intelligent. You know, it's intelligent.
Oh, but, my God.
Play that again.
Oh, my God.
They quit flying the airplane. The engine wasn't locked up at the impact site. So if the engine's not locked up, it means the engine was still running. And he was within a mile of the airport. He probably should have made the runway.
Wow.
But even,
he panicked.
Even if you got all...
Oh,
no,
that's
got to
be somebody
wild,
in that
plant. It had to have been. Either that or somebody just listening to what he was talking about.
Oh, did you? Now, you play that back. You, hey, Bray, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
How's that make you feel?
I'm still sitting in my car, not going in the door yet.
Now, is it when you hear something like that, like you said, I forgot who was telling this, but you sit in your car a lot of times and listen back to
as
these?
As soon as we start, as soon as we finish, we plug in the audio and start listening
and start
just on the way home.
Listen, mm-hmm. So you're listening to that. So you hear something like that, you almost shut everything off and go, now wait a minute, who else was in there with us?
Absolutely.
And you start.
This is outside, though. This was outside, and the only people that were with us at this point, Katie Ruth, a little girl that was with us here last time, she had already left at this point. It was the guy talking, and then I had a husband-wife investigator. The wife does not sound like this. This kind of sounds like a very southern twang. If you play one more, I zoomed in on he panicked.
He panicked. I mean, if you got all.
That sounds like a southern twang to it.
So,
wow.
I would love to find out on that plane, Bray, if you can. He probably remembers which plane this was.
Yeah.
If you'll find out if there was a woman on that plane as well.
Oh, definitely.
So that would be interesting
and
to me.
And what I find fascinating is there you have brought in audio from, you know, let's say spirits. We don't know where
whatever
this comes
are.
From. It's almost like they can barely get through. So it's either a whisper or we've had almost like a robotic voice that comes through. But I mean, yeah, that is the most clear, loud.
Except for the
sample,
Touch Me Daddy.
For,
that one,
oh,
the,
yeah,
the
that
Touch
too.
Me Daddy mm-hmm. in the safe. I mean, if, you
right.
know, so we've definitely had some that are extremely clear. This one, what I like about this one, though, is it is truly responding to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's saying, he goes on to say that, you know, he should have been able to land this plane. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. And
hey,
this is just a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, go ahead. You're on with Brea and Andy.
Hey, Brea, I was just wondering, we didn't really get to hear your part of the story, like maybe what had you been experiencing that made you call the Ghost Hunters in the first place?
That's right.
It's just one of those, trying to explain it, just spooky when you have to walk out there, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Or when you're walking through certain places, you just get chills, you know. I think the guys experience it more than, you know, we do in the front, but yeah, definitely.
So is it something that you guys talk about, like the guys who are out there actually working with the equipment? Is it something where like they come into the office and go, yeah, there's something out there today?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's freaky.
Wow.
That one was freaky.
Yep. Didn't like
Ooh.
Didn't like the didn't like that last one.
You know, most stuff just comes, at, you know, and you find out after the fact once you go back and listen to the audio tapes.
Unreal.
Wow.
Oh, Brea, thank you so much for calling them and letting
yes.
them do it on the radio.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That is that's definitely going to go down in the record books as
oh, my goodness.
As a big one.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely.
As always.
That's
Andy.
A nice little Christmas gift for the Atlanta Ghost Hunters, right?
And
that's
all,
right.
And your investigations are on your website all the time,
they are,
right?
Yeah, and we'll have this one updated on the website later on this afternoon. It's AtlantaGhostHunters.com. And, yeah, check in, send an email. If you got anything, we'll come check it out.
Hey, how do people get in touch with Andy?
AtlantaGhostHunters@Yahoo.com. And we are running we need a whole bunch of new equipment right now. Like we said, everything we do is for free. So we are running a special right now if you want to go on an investigation with the Atlanta Ghost Hunters. And a portion of the proceeds is going to go to Bert's Big Adventure. So,
oh, well, that's awesome.
Email
awesome.
Us cool. at AtlantaGhostHunters@Yahoo.com. We'll get you the details.
Wow.
Thanks a lot for coming in, Andy.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The Bert Show.
We just took this phone call from Kimberly about 10 minutes ago. She's taking matters into her own hands.
It's interesting because he had said before that he wasn't the marrying type, and, you know, if you're together, you're together. But I really feel with 100% certainty that he's going to say yes. He's the love of my life, and he's terrific. I'm really excited.
And you're that sure he's going to say yes? You're that sure he's going to be as excited as you are?
I am positive.
So that's Kimberly saying she's not only proposing marriage to her boyfriend at his home in front of his family, but it's the first time that she's ever going to actually meet his family also.
And she's going to pull his dad aside and ask his permission.
That's awesome.
Good morning, Sherry. You are on Q100. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. You got some advice here for Kimberly?
Yes, I think she is absolutely crazy. Okay, have you considered that this might be a huge step for him, considering he already has issues with marriage? Like, just the fact that you're meeting his family, he's allowing you into his family presence. That's probably a huge step for him. So if you turn around and do this thing, this proposal or whatever, that's going to completely scare him off, and he's going to say, well, at least I found out she was crazy before I married her, because that's probably why he's afraid to get married. Most men aren't afraid of the commitment part of it. They're afraid of getting committed and then realizing that the person turns out to be a nut as soon as they put the ring on the finger. So to go into his family space and then for the first time, and then propose to him in public when he's already told you that he's not ready for marriage, that's inconsiderate and kind of selfish, and really you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Have you guys actually, like, gone and looked at rings and, I mean, talked about a life together and the actual ceremony and all that?
We've never gone to, you know, to, like, look at rings, but we've definitely talked about a lifetime together. And both of us really want children. That much I know for sure.
That's
and
good.
It isn't really, I mean, it is, the caller was right in the fact that it's the first time that physically I've met his parents, but I know, like I said, I talked to, you know, we're friends on, like, his sister and I, you know, like, we're friends on Facebook and stuff like that. So we talk and we chat. So his family knows me.
Right.
They're just so far that I've never actually been there. And he's met my family, you know, and we've gone on vacations together, you know, so it's not like I was like this secret girlfriend and now this is the first moment I'm being revealed. You know, it's not like that at all. Like, they know that we're serious.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that part. I mean, I wish I was in the room, or I've been in the room where I've seen his attitude about marriage. Because if it's a flippant, like, oh, honey, you know what, marriage is, yeah, I mean, yes, but we don't have to do that. That's one thing. Or there's the, I'm just not for marriage. It's just a piece of paper, and our relationship is our relationship, and I don't ever see myself getting married. Is it different?
That's it's so funny, because that's scarily accurate. That's almost like verbatim what he said.
Which time? The first example or the second?
The second one. The second one, where he said, you know, marriage is just a piece of paper, and I don't really know if it's for me, but also, too, like the lady had said who just called, you know, that most men are afraid because they're going to, I don't know, marry some nut job or whatever. But he knows, you know, I'm not like that. I mean, he
but if
asked
he doesn't
me to come
get
out and
married,
move with him.
He's telling you.
If he doesn't want to get married at all, why put yourself in the position to be embarrassed in front of his family?
Well, you know, the way I figure it, I don't have anything to lose. Because other than this relationship, I want to get married. I want to have children. But I don't want my children not to have a legal father. So if it does come down to that, I mean, I'm not saying we'll break up immediately, but I really want to be married if we're going to have children.
All right. Is that important to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm not, I don't want to give you any advice that's hypocritical. If you were a guy, would I say the same thing? You know, so there's plenty of women out there who make a stink about marriage and then the guy still proposes because he wants to propose. So that's not my issue with Kimberly. My issue with Kimberly is in front of the family. And especially the first time, regardless of if you've known the family for the whole time. You know, it is such a dangerous thing, and it should be a personal thing. And especially since you and he have to have a serious conversation about your future, I think your proposal should be in private to launch into that conversation you just told us about. I want to be a mother. I want to have a legal husband, or I'm not going to pick up my life and move.
I see this with women all the time, where guys tell you things that they tell you how they're feeling, yet you don't believe it.
You ignore it.
You choose to ignore it. He's telling you right now, he's not for marriage. That's not him.
But that goes back to what women change in guys. They're like, oh, he says he's not into marriage, but he just doesn't know it yet.
Look, one of my really good friends ended up getting divorced a couple of months ago. He told his girlfriend at the time, I just want to let you know, if you're going to sign up for me, that means no kids. I do not want to have children. It's just not part of my makeup. I don't want to be a dad. But if you want to be with me, we can be with each other. So she said, okay, I get it. Let's get married. They get married. He's a year into the relationship. She starts pressuring him to have kids. He gets a vasectomy and says, look, I told you. This is where I'm at. I'm never having kids. Never, never, never. She's living across the country now. He's living here. They're divorced. But he told her right off the bat. But she thought, well, once he gets into marriage,
he'll
change a little bit, be in love. He'll see, you know, we'll start hanging around
he'll
other families. He told her.
Yeah. A lot of times I think people, men and women, live their own like narrative. You know, you have the narrative you want to tell for your life and you just kind of move on living it and don't consider what the other person has for their story, you know?
Right, but I also think that to be serious about a marriage, you can't be so stickler on every... Now, kids is very important. I mean, absolutely, that's a make or break. I know a couple, same situation. But I think also if this is how I am, this is how I'm always going to be, whatever, I don't think you're a great candidate for marriage in general if you have that kind of attitude.
I mean, there's something...
Like, you'll never change.
Hey, Mandy, you know? Go ahead.
I tell her to go for it because there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with taking a chance. But if he says no, at least she'll know he's not going to marry her. I mean, so I tell her to go for it.
So what is the harm then? I mean, if you're really using this to see if he's at all open to marriage, then what is the harm in doing it in private rather than in front of the family?
Well, that's part of the reason is that's why I'm asking his dad. You know, the night before, because he's always talking about his dad, you know, like he's really, really close to him. Even though I talk to his mom on the telephone, I figure, you know, if his dad, you know, says yes, then of course I'm going to do it, you know. But if he, I mean, I'm going to do it either way, to tell you the truth, whether or not he, you know, gives me the approval.
So even if the father says, even if the father says, look, you know that whatever his name is, Andy, is anti-marriage. You know this is not part of his future, right? So, no, I can't really give my blessing. You're still going to go for it in front of the family.
I still will, yes. And let me. I just want to be really, 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 really clear, okay? I don't want a wedding. I want a marriage, okay? I don't need to have, like, if it's the big, you know, like, $30,000 wedding and all that. I don't need that. Okay, we can just go to the courthouse. Like, nobody else even has to... Well, I guess, well, his parents, yeah, and his family. I say, nobody has to know, but his family. You know, I mean, it's just something, you know, personal for me. And like I said, I'll sign any prenup. I'll do whatever I need to do on my end to help him feel comfortable with that. Like I said, I'm not doing it to get this big lavish wedding and look at me, I want a big engagement ring. That's exactly why I'm doing it the opposite, because I want him to know that it's about that commitment for me and not some pageantry, you know, not like, oh, I want 15 bridesmaids,
right.
You know? Like,
oh, I understand. Okay, well, we have got to get in touch with you to find out exactly what happened. And we'll find out if the dad said, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
And if your boyfriend said, yeah, and how the public proposal went in front of the family.
Good luck. Good luck. I think it still should be private. I think it's cool that you're trying to do it the traditional route. I think that's fantastic. I just be cautious about doing it in front of the entire family. That's all.
Okay.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I will talk to her after the holiday.
Stealing his thunder?
In what way?
In case, like, he wants to do it?
In case he did want to do it, maybe he knows how important it is to her, and then he wants to propose. Like, she's kind of robbing him of the chance to do something cool for her.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
I have a feeling the father's going to say no. Come on. You know what he's all about.
But would that stop a guy?
It's not stopping her. She already said it.
If a guy asked for the father's hand in marriage and he said no, would that stop him?
It would stop me from doing it publicly in front of the rest of the family, for sure.
Well,
I'll handle it after the holiday.
In front of the family, anybody doing it, but I'm just saying.
A good idea.
The Burt Show.
All right, I want you to make a commitment to the Burt Show right now for the next 3.5 minutes that you won't tune out. Because this entire song here, the song, it's only going to be funny and effective if you listen all the way through. Like, if you bail after about a minute, you're not going to get the true feel of this entire song.
Okay.
So I'm asking you to commit to the Burt Show. As I understand it, This is a guy that's, I'm not sure where he submitted this audition tape, but he was sitting in the congregation and he's watching everybody else do their thing around Christmas time. He's watching the choir and he's like, man, I could do better than that.
He's like, I am the real star of this congregation.
If they could just hear me. He's probably one of these guys in church, raises his hands, and he's got this sway going back and forth, and he hears, yeah, got both hands in the air and stuff. He's like, you know what? They need me.
He feels the call. This is the Lord calling upon him.
So he sends in an audition tape to the church to say, hey, y'all listen to this, and I think it's going to be unsaid. Who's going to be singing Oh Holy Night next year? So he sends in this audition tape. It's bad, y'all. It's really bad. But it's 3 minutes. Make a commitment.
Okay.
Oh, he's got the Casio out.
If you
out.
Like the beginning of the American Idols, you know, where it's the bad performers, you'll love this. If not,
oh,
commit.
Holy night. Stars are brightly shining.
Okay, it doesn't get any better than that.
It
that's the best.
Night of our dear Savior's birth.
Amen.
Hands, amen. Both hands up in the
I'm
air.
Feeling
you're feeling it, man.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul bells, it's worth.
I imagine that he has a ponytail
a
down.
Thrill
like this from the 80s.
The weary
God, you guys preparing for takeoff?
Sounds like karaoke.
For yonder breaks.
Not too bad yet.
A new and
that's why I said you gotta commit. Here we go.
I like the way he's not using a lot of notes.
He's making it his own.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, it gets better.
When Christ was born.
How did this possibly stick to the tape?
Commit, people. There's Grace. A minute left.
Oh, no.
Here it is.
Has he spilled something hot on his testicles?
Christ was born.
I think so.
Born
oh, come on. He's got to be joking. Oh, good.
Born that demon.
I want to go caroling with him.
Wait, listen, you got to listen to this all the way through.
You know it was. Divine. Oh, not divine.
Do you think after that he went, yes!
Nailed it!
You know what? And I'll bet.
Send it in!
If he was sending that into someone, you know that that wasn't the only one he did.
Is that serious?
Like he did.
As far as I know.
Oh my God.
He did several of those and picked that one as the best.
Has to be a joke towards the end of it, though.
Jeez. It's a little bit, I think, like the American Idol auditions where you think you're kicking ass.
Yeah.
But you can't. What you're hearing in your head and your ears is totally different.
I want that song to put on in my place. So when people come over to my house, that's what they're listening to for Christmas.
I'm gonna make that my ring back on my phone. That way nobody will talk, leave me messages.
No one will ever call you.
Hey Amber, good morning. You're on Q100.
That was absolutely painful.
Really?
It hurt to listen to.
It did hurt.
Oh God, it was bad.
I told you I was gonna test your commitment to the show. Good morning, Amanda. You're on Q100.
Yeah, I had to turn that up to hear how bad it was, and then I had to turn it back down.
The Burt Show.